we took an easy route out. We kind of presented some of this work in Trinity College there last year. So when Laura said, we said, we'll just put it up and see where it goes. So Michael Bergen, Margaret Denny, and we work together. We team teach in terms of psychology over 4 years of the programme. In terms of, we start off with developmental psychology and we work up right up to social psychology in year four. And in many ways, we were coming up against obstacles in terms of our teaching. What was educationally sound? What best way to do it in many ways? So one area we looked at in terms of our assessments was looking at web-based assessments.
Yeah, each year, I suppose, year one to year three, we had purely exam and assignments. And predictably, students that were academically quite good were doing very well. And we tried to tap into a way, because we were tapping into Margaret's whole area of multiple intelligence and trying to tap into other ways of assessing that might actually bring students more to the fore with different types of assessments, tapping into different multiple intelligence. And as a result, using the web TAT and using the web CT and MCQ as a method for assessment, it actually did allow us to actually give students an MCQ assessment online that actually where some of the weaker students academically in relation to exams and assignments were actually doing quite well. Mm-hmm. And the ones that were doing quite well in academic assignments were only scoring average on the MCQ. Mm-hmm. So really actually it allowed us then, it verified really what we were doing in relation to tapping into students' other abilities in relation to, we were tapping into a lot of their cognitive abilities in relation to thinking and reasoning online, doing an exam. Whereas the word they actually apply that way, maybe in the formal exam setting or within the academic assignments.
And I think we're all caught up with in terms of what is the best teaching or learning approach. And I suppose I'm very interested in multiple intelligence teaching and learning because it's about learning for understanding. And when Eamon was talking about passive and active, you sit in my domain in terms of where we look at students as being active or passive recipients of learning. So are they in the classroom where they're just passive recipients like yourselves here sitting down today, unless I engage you? And if I don't engage you from a brain-based perspective, you're going to remain passive. So I looked at a framework in terms of a multiple intelligence teaching approach, which I operationalised using this what we call the MITA model, and we worked through students, all their abilities. Because the debate is out whether we have an intelligence or do we have abilities. And according to Howard Gardner, we would have 8 abilities or multiple intelligences. And I think in third level and in secondary, we look at mainly a G intelligence or a general intelligence in terms of logical, mathematical, verbal, linguistic ability. And that's what our CAO is based on. And so I would argue, and my colleagues and other researchers would argue, that we have many abilities. And so we must target those and engage students in the classroom. So when Michael talks about WebCT in terms of an assessment modality, we look in nursing in many ways in terms of competency, in terms of psychomotor, affective and cognitive ability. And of course we tap into this type of assessment that actually meets that need. Okay. And I suppose in many ways we look in nursing fit for practice, fit for purpose, and utilising web-based technology to support student nurses in an environment of dynamic change. So in many ways, WebCT facilitated some of this critical thinking that Michael spoke about there. It's thinking about thinking while you're thinking. I'm trying to do that now.
A lot of nursing students, when they go into clinical practice, they're students, they're dependent, they're going to qualify and they're in practice, they're professionally accountable. And they have to think on their feet in many situations, especially in general nursing, where they're confronted in A&E departments, critical care departments. They've got to think about thinking. And this WebCT assessment modality allows them to do that, because they actually have to think at many different levels in relation to decisions that they make. So just a small bit about the healthcare system. It's dynamic, you could argue that. It's changing and it's diversifying. Okay, and this, within the whole area of the healthcare system, like IT is playing its role and it's growing and it's growing, and we have to meet that demand. And we were just talking this week, and we were actually liaising with the computer department in relation to, I mean, we're sending 100 amount of students out each year qualified, and how prepared are they in relation to the use of technology? So it's a whole area that we need to actually tap into. It's a future area for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we're doing equally. We've put forward a proposal for Leonardo, an international project, in terms of even ICT, meeting the needs of centres where we rehabilitate people who present with mental health problems. And equally, when I was talking about teaching strategies, I mean, we try in the department, and as educators, we certainly try to use multiple approaches in terms of problem-based learning, inquiry-based learning, using vignettes, getting students involved in group work through using their multiple intelligences. So we tried in many ways. But the one thing we were missing was in terms of the type of assessment modalities, because purely exams, I think, assess rote learning. And you can agree or disagree. The level that it assesses, I don't think it's a deep approach to learning. I think it's a very surface approach. And research would indicate that 5 years later, that material is not there, it's gone. So, anyway.
So, what we did, we teach on social psychology. Within the social psychology, it's fourth year students. And the reason we picked fourth year students were because we pick in 100 plus students each year. And of that 100, about 20, 25 are mature students. And that can range from age 24 to 54, 55. That's the end of it. So a lot of them are not computer literate for the first couple of years within college. So as a result, then we pick 4 years. We teach social psychology. We actually, day one, we show them a film, The 12 Angry Men.
For example, that was one film we used. And we asked students to extrapolate from that film to look at how social psychology works within that film, and they actually had to write an assignment on that. View the film, number one, then write an assignment about it.
All the lectures then are based, the content is based around 12 Angry Men. You bring it back to the film all the time each week for 10 to 12 weeks. And then at the very end, then there's an assignment, and also there's an MCQ test that's based on the whole area of social psychology, what we've taught through the medium of using the film.
But no, it's not just your ordinary MCQ, because, you know, it's not a tick box system. We use mini vignettes, so students have to do more than just tick box. They have to extrapolate key information, it may be a 2-point question or whatever, and they have to do that under those conditions over where Laura sets it up for us. So we kind of did a little mini piece of research on it, I would say, and this is why we have methods up here in phase one. You use the questionnaire, and then we had an evaluation online as well in terms of how did the students feel about this as an assessment modality. We used a kind of a purposive sampling strategy. We had fourth year, as I said, BSc nursing students, and we had a spread of psychiatry, intellectual disability, and general nursing students. And the subject was social psychology, and we had 25% of the marks going towards their assessment. We used a little bit of quantitative analysis. I'd be sitting quant. Michael did a bit of qual on the frameworks approach. And the results ranged, like in terms of the MCQ assessment, we got 30 to 95% in terms of results. The mean was 68 and the standard deviation 13. What was most important, I suppose, for us was how did the students evaluate it?
So we used the Likert 5-point scale. Assessment method was then evaluated fairly by students in relation to their preparation for their assessments, their orientation towards assessment, and their effectiveness of using web tasks and assessment modality. Okay, and basically what we did was that year, it was person prior to you, Laura, we got them down, and we actually a week before the exam, we opened up an exam, which Laura might actually tell you more about.
Sample exam.
I need to get you back anyway, because you got us up here. So, over to you.
There's a lot of issues around delivering assessment using technology, and one of the concerns that I have is that the first time the student does the exam, it shouldn't be the time that they're sitting it for the last time, such that if you go in and I say to you, okay, I want you to do this exam now, it's third centre final mark, it's the first time you've ever used the environment. You don't know how to get to the next question, you don't know how to save the answer, you don't know when you're going to see your score, and all these kind of add to the pressure of doing the assessment. So these was that Margaret and Michael kind of set up kind of a sample quiz of about 10 questions that the students could go in and experiment with for 2 weeks prior to the exam. So they're comfortable with the environment, they're comfortable with the idea, they knew how the scoring worked, they knew how the feedback was going to work. So then when it came to actually doing the quiz, they knew what they were about, they knew how to log in, they knew where the quiz was going to be, they knew how many questions was going to be in it. And it just kind of reduced some of the pressure that could have built up if they hadn't had access to it prior to it.
Okay, so in that way, their preparation for the assessment was very positive in relation to the feedback that we got. Okay. I think also the teaching method then that we used the film structures all the lectures for the 10 weeks, and then the exam itself was based around that content, that they were able to relate it's tying again into Margaret's multiple intelligence. You know, they had the visual, they had the verbal, they had the
kinesthetics.
So just the results then.
Mathematical, verbal, linguistic, almost. Yeah.
So the focus groups then that we held with groups of students after, like they felt like one, it was an expansion of web tap for them reading questions. They found that actually could be quite difficult because when they were reading the question, they were reading a statement or a mini vignette, and you could quickly run to an answer. But they had to actually think about it, because if they actually picked the wrong answer and saved it, they were actually negatively marked on it. So that was actually a learning for them. So that was actually tapping into the whole area of cognitive ability and thinking about thinking.
We had 33% fail this year on the MCQ. So it's not easy.
Most of them found it was a positive experience, you know, and what they found was great was the results immediately. They got the results within the hour. We just had 1 hour to go back in to make sure that the system had run right. And once they got the results, they found that very, very positive, irregardless of the result that they got. Mm-hmm. You know, to get immediate results is quite good from the student's perspective.
So, it's a competency-based assessment. In many ways, I've said it earlier, it's cognitive, affective, and psychomotor. In many ways, the student has to engage at an intellectual level, affectively as well, in terms of the computer itself, and its psychomotor in terms of the movement that the student has to use in order to negotiate through the MCQ. And we felt like, in many ways, it met some of the outcomes for us in terms of learning, in terms of the development of critical thinking, transferability of decision making to nursing practice. And later on, just in the later down, we're looking at, in terms of taxonomic levels, like we have the old Bloom's taxonomy, and you're all aware of that, aren't you? But I mean, it met many of the needs of the new taxonomic levels in terms of Cratwalls. So it's all about creating as opposed to understanding, comprehension, you know, synthesis, analysis. What do they mean? Whereas the new taxonomic levels look at of the student being actively engaged in terms of the outcome. Yeah, that's what it's all about. So I suppose in many ways it's awareness of contemporary information technology, the merits and potential of WebTap. They have. You know, we find it's great. It's a vital means of promoting learning, the role of WebCity in teaching and learning at all levels, and application of knowledge using an MCQ. But definitely I would say in terms of, I think you need to have kind of vignettes or problem-based scenarios so that students can ascertain deeper levels of knowledge.
Your own reading.
So it's not just about exams. And we had a lot of organisation and preparation in terms when we started off doing it.
It's style and quality questions, the stemming option.
Yeah.
The levels of knowledge that we were trying to acquire. So we were at year four, final year assessment. So we had to meet that level of knowledge. The subject content covered, which was social psychology. Instructions from invigilators and the duration then of the questions and number of questions. These, when we were doing this the first time, we actually didn't really know how many questions we should be setting in relation to a time frame. So we learned, this is the third year that we've done it, and I think it's got better each year that we've went through.
Mm.
Laura's already spoken about the online pilot that we ran. WebTAF is actually a name we just created ourselves. TAF is Techno Assessments Test as well.
Yeah.
It's just a name that we created for the Trinity version. It's not a new software web tab.
Just a game, Laura, you're getting worried.
Okay. So we use four-tier students, as I was saying, because a lot of our students, 20-25% of our students coming in are not computer literate. They're mature students, and they could be anything up from 25 to 50 years of age, and some of them have no computer skills at all. So as a result, it wasn't very suitable in relation to our first-year second years. The resources for running the web task, we needed the librarians, IT support, the lecturers here within the department, just beyond ourselves. We need security staff and the test itself, a venue, which is usually in the IT building, and the administration staff to run it. So it encompasses a lot of people actually to roll it out. So on the day then, it was prior preparation, okay, as Laura was talking about. We had a 1 hour allocation to the exam. The exam was 35 minutes in duration. So people had to get access. They began. So on the exam itself, they were able to see how much time they had left. So if it was 35 minutes, the clock was counting down on the right hand column for them. And then they received the results, that results that day.
And I suppose when I was talking about multiple intelligence, I'm not going to go on about it here today, but I mean, this is one medium through which we use within our department. And I think it's essential to say that an intelligence is a biological and psychological potential capable of being realised to a greater or lesser extent as a consequence of the experiential, culture, and motivational factors that affect the person. and I'm a firm believer in that. It's, as I said, it's not the forum today to go through all of these. But I do believe when Gardner says the word potential as opposed to a belief in innate abilities or talents, I think, you know, we need to look at that more closely and look at this whole notion of just assessing a general intelligence. And many ways, you know, when you look at the student, and I look at you in here today, do you enjoy nature? And the student who enjoys nature likes to talk about, for example, in our class, in many ways in developmental psychology, we were talking first year about bonding and attachment. We had one student who would relate that to, he was a farmer, and he would relate that to bonding mother, calf and cow. And that's how he related in many ways his material in terms of bonding and attachment. And so I think you have to bring in some of that into your lecture every day. I think musical intelligence will change. If I played music in here today, I think the whole dynamic within this room would change. And if you, using group work or pair sharing activities, you introduce music, you can watch the dynamic and watch how it changes. However, one has to be careful in terms of what type of music you use, the involvement of students, and I am a firm believer that we are facilitators of learning. We are not teachers. Therefore, the students should be actively engaged in terms of assessments, but equally involved in terms of what goes on within the classroom. So it's collaborative endeavours. Logical, mathematical, we'll all teach to that, of course. You know, the logical, mathematical, when you look at that student, they think cause and effect. And they always go around with the post-it notes, if you watch it, or the lecture. Interpersonal intelligence, do you enjoy being with other people? And the student, interpersonally, who enjoys, when you say to him, we're going to do some group activities, they say, great. And then you'll see the one saying, oh, no, not again. So you need to have time for interpersonal, but equally you have, when I come to it, intrapersonal intelligence, because that's the student who wants to do it alone. Bodily kinesthetic, do you like sports or dancing or movement? And the student to think in movement. And I should have said earlier on as well, like you need to give, you know, in terms of musical intelligence, that is the most distracted person or student within the room. I don't see any of you too distracted here today. So bodily kinesthetic, so you need to give movement, stop the class, let students move around in terms of, this is a brain-based approach to learning. Visual, spatial, Eamon, you were doing it all the time in terms of your mind maps and spider diagrams, and so at the end of sessions to get students to capture key learning in terms of the outcomes of that learning, in terms of what have you learned today, can you capture that on a spider diagram or a mind map for me, can you present a 1 minute paper or write it down for me, so that you're capturing a key area. Now I haven't gone down through how we actually formally deliver multiple intelligence within the classroom, that's for another day. Verbal linguistic, the student who likes the use of language, reading, speaking, and often go around with a lot of books. And I've talked about intrapersonal. And I think, in many ways, it makes little sense to treat everyone in a one-size-fits-all manner. So we need to see the individuality of each learner within the classroom. Even though, and some people would say, well, you know, how can you do it when you have 120, 130? We do it all the time. You can lead students to new ways of learning, and I think, you know, you can reflect on that for a minute. Okay, thank you.